Necrobusters.
Napalm Death is like, you know, it gets called a political band.
Probation of what it be in other.
When you go camping, you get to see the Milky Way galaxy.
Punk rock type attitude too. We're just gonna try to, you know, gross you out with our music.
Yo, what's up? This is John from Noise Dosage Media, bringing you some of the most innovative and unique extreme metal musicians on air to have an in-depth conversation about things you probably didn't know until now. Before we unravel this episode, we want to bring attention to our driving force of visual creativity. Begrudgingly, Benny creates one-of-a-kind creatures that you can't find anywhere else but below. His focus is on old-school style, slimy stippling that is budget-friendly for all bands or tattoo desired. Stay updated on the sludge by following at begrudgingly_Benny on Instagram. Wither Designs raises the dead with pen and ink and gives them new life with acidic color. Withered is eager to accompany your next album, merchandise, or zine with new kick-ass necromantic artwork. Keep up with the horde by following him at Withered_Designs on Instagram. Thanks for tuning in, and let's dive into this.
All right. So, Nicholas.
Yes.
Let's start it off. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I just had a walk from memory lane tonight. Some childhood friends of mine who's doing a documentary.
Nice.
Yeah, a documentary from where we grew up, you know, bodies from the, you know, like at the age of 5 and up till 20.
Oh, wow.
So we went to the old school and all that. And yeah, it was really, really fun and nice to meet them again. I haven't seen them in 30 years, maybe.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. I'm thinking about doing like a interview style documentary when the pandemic rolls over. I just think documentaries are just so interesting because
it is.
There's just something about it, like especially music and like the metal scene. Yeah. It just catches so much attention nowadays because not a lot of people do them.
Yeah, totally. It's really interesting to go back in time and you're a little bit older and hopefully a little bit more wiser.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say that to you, like bringing back memories. I'm assuming you're like, holy shit, time flies.
Yeah, exactly, and you can see it from another angle.
Right.
It's really fun and really interesting.
So I want to bring up before we get into this, you know, the first ever like legitimate metal show was In Flames, and that was with, I think it was All That Remains in United States, Buffalo.
Yeah.
And wow, man, it was such a good show. Like the lighting was like perfectly, it was really like for me, coming from a classic rock background and then going to that show,
yeah,
and just being like submerged in the melodic guitar parts and everything, I was like, this is like something else. I'm into it.
Yeah. That's the power of magic, I think.
Yeah.
Was that your first concert ever?
No, it wasn't my first concert ever, but it was my first like metal show.
Ah, okay, yeah.
And I think it was, who the heck else was on that? Was it Periphery, All That Remains? Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, totally. Yep. Yes.
That was it. Yeah. I still have the ticket stub.
Yeah, cool. It was a good tour. Great bands.
Do you remember anything in specific that sticks out from that tour that you, I don't know, you always remember something from a tour?
What I remember is, I mean, I met the guys in All That Remains for the first time, and I got to play a lot of guitars with Ollie. That was really, really nice, and he was an awesome guitar player and an awesome dude. And then meeting up with Mark from Periphery as well, and just hang out and talk about guitars and music and bands in general. It was a great tour. I like that one.
Mark is a really good guy.
I met him
at like a VIP thing at a different show, and he actually let me toss his guitar to him. but Yeah. Anyway, they're all intelligent and really talented at what they do.
Yeah, definitely. Great bands.
So the first question I really have is, what do you think is like the biggest overlooked thing to be a guitar player and a metal band, a touring metal band?
The most overlooked thing?
Yes. Besides the music and all that, like, what do you think just kind of is overlooked?
Let me think. Something that comes to mind is the play to be able to play rhythm guitar and do it properly, to execute the riffage,
right.
People can hear you. Maybe people. How should I put this? It caused tons of emotion. Oh, it's more. I mean, the power of the riff. It's so important. I mean,
right.
You hear all this riffage coming out at the metal concert and everything, but the knowledge and how it's been executed.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm a guitar player myself, and I totally agree on that. You know,
yeah, definitely. That goes for doing a shred solo or soloing, or just playing an instrument overall. But if you consider overlooked on guitar, touring guitar, so yeah, the power of the riff, I have to say.
Okay, the power of the riff. What do you think is the most powerful riff around to this day? I mean, that's a heavy question, but
it is.
You know, I was just watching a video of Tony Iommi and how he was missing two of his fingers, and I'm like, that guy, like, he went through everything, and like, his riffs are just so powerful, man. Like,
it is.
You can just, it's just so distinct that you know exactly who it is right away.
Most definitely. I love his guitar tone and his playing and his riffage. And one song particular that comes to mind is from the album Mob Rules.
Okay.
And it's a song, Voodoo.
Okay.
And that's a classic hard rock riffage right there. I love all his riffage, but that's something that stands out. And I'm a huge fan of all the eras of Black Sabbath, with the singer of Tony Martin as well, with albums that, such as Headless Cross and Tear or Eternal Idol.
Right.
It's always dark. It's always moody. It's always very, very powerful. I mean,
I think the one thing about them was they never really tried to like show off. They just had it going for them right off the bat, you know, like, and it wasn't like super crazy either. I mean, when I started playing guitar, that was like the first couple bands I learned, but simplicity I think is key. Melody. I think melody is number two on that list.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. There had to be some kind of melody, something to hook onto, you know, grab onto.
So what's like a personality in the metal scene that you admire and have learned something from?
Humble.
Yeah, somebody humble for sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of personalities out there. I mean, I just mentioned Mark from Periphery or Oli or just guys who love what they do and put heart and soul behind it, and you know, who can share that love, or you know, here's a riff, what do you think about this, or what do you, yeah, this is really cool, this is, you know, where you where you feel instantly that you become buddies.
Right. Okay. How about a personality like during the pandemic that might have like helped push you? You know, like, I'm assuming that you've been writing a lot. I have, for sure. Yeah. you know, is there anybody in specific that you've been sending music out to where they've kind of been like, you know, pushing you forward through all this stuff?
Yeah, this is, it's been a year, it's been a times of having time for doing stuff. I mean, wasn't a big YouTube surfer until this year. Yeah.
that's the only content we get.
Yeah. And I'm a huge Anthrax fan. I am been a fan.
Nice. I was just watching a documentary of Anthrax last night.
Exactly. I've been a fan since Spreading the Disease. I was maybe 10 or 11 years old when I discovered that the album. We had something over here in Sweden called Super Rock. No, Scansional, which came from England. And there was this host, Mick Wall, I think. And here is a new video, Madhouse, with a band, Anthrax. Wow!
Yeah. Madhouse.
Wow! The riff for today looked cool and the plays are cool. So I love that band.
Yeah.
They got me inspired by just looking at these documentaries or seeing interviews with Scott Ian or Charlie Benante or the whole band.
Right.
That was, wow, they're still going at it. They still love what they do.
Have you listened to the newest album? Like, I think it's, well, I wouldn't call it new right now, but the latest one is just so good.
For All Kings, you mean?
Yeah.
Awesome. Love it.
And you know, like when you get to that point in your career, I mean, from an outsider, I'm like, oh, where is it going to go next? But they totally killed it. Like everything about that band has just been growing. And Scott Ian, dude, if I can meet him and just be like, hey, man, you know what's up. I've freaking learned your riffs since I was a kid. I wish, you know.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's been really inspiring. And I'm talking about the latest Mr. Bungle album that you put together on Mike Patton. That's just a feast of old school thrash metal, like Anthrax, SOD, Nuclear Assault, and all that stuff. It's just amazing. I love it.
Nuclear Assault, man. Dan Locher is like right down the street from me every day. Oh. He's only like an hour away. He works at a record store, and I see him every time I go there.
Okay.
I've yet to do an interview with him, though. I just
have to do that.
I got to do it.
Yeah.
And so the next thing I wanted to ask, you know, you're name dropping some bands. I noticed on your Instagram, you like Possessed, Memoriam, and Gojira.
Yeah.
So I've talked to Possessed. I've talked to Memoriam. I haven't talked to Gojira, but I'm just curious, you know, what do you think of the new Memoriam album?
I love it. I love it. I like that heaviness. That do I dare to say this? But I say it anyway. Excuse me. But no, it's old school death metal, ball thrower, muscular riffage.
Yeah.
I still love that stuff till
I'm stoked on that.
I love that.
All right, so are you into the new wave of like old school death metal that's kind of going around right now?
I'm not that familiar.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
I still got my Cause of Death and Leprosy albums and Altars of Madness and.
Heck yeah! So out of that range of music, you know, who haven't you seen yet? The death metal scene. That's what I'm trying to say. I want to see Obituary.
Yeah, I saw them once. It was awesome. There was a lot of groove to it.
Oh yeah. That's what they have. That's like every band has a trick, man. And that is like them is this groove.
That was really, really heavy and groovy.
Have you seen Possessed?
Excuse me?
Have you seen Possessed?
No, never.
Dang, me neither.
I want to see them.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
But Gojira, I have seen. Have you?
Yeah, me too.
Okay, I've seen them twice, and they, I would say that they're one of the best bands I've seen live. Like, sometimes, you know, you hear a band on record and then you hear them live and they're not the same. But Gojira, holy crap, man.
Yeah, yeah. I can imagine. It's even heavier live.
And that new song, Amazonia.
Yeah.
I think it's the coolest thing what they're doing right now with that, with that cause.
Yeah, definitely.
With that cause. So I got a few more for you. You know, how have you been coping with the pandemic? And has this made it easier for you to generate more musical ideas, or has it been swaying?
No, I since everything has been shut down, quite early on, I had to redo plans for playing gigs, shows, tours, and festivals and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I was, okay, what am I going to do now? All right, let's prepare and be positive about this and write new music and be on the move, you know, recording new music, to think of a world after the pandemic, to stay positive. So I've been focusing on writing new music and recording new music.
That's awesome. That's really good to hear. I'm really quite interested to see what you've been brewing up. And now, with the pandemic, do you think it's darker music, or is it just the same thing, same you?
Yeah, good question. I think this may sound crazy, but I think it's more energy to it, faster songs.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And even more melodies, I think.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I feel when I go back to listening to it.
I wanted to mention too, right where I'm at, the masks are coming off, and which is awesome. I just texted a promoter and they said that I could start booking shows where I'm at. So the United States is opening up. I'm saying is you should get over here.
Yeah. Over here is going really slow, really, really slow. I've been seeing a lot of bands going out this summer.
Yeah.
In the States.
I want to go to Maryland Death Fest.
Oh, yeah.
In 2022. Yeah. Have you ever been to that festival?
Never been to that.
Okay. I've yet to go to a festival, which is lame. Lame for
just
me.
Just the feeling of standing and watching a band with our bodies and, you know.
Yeah.
Just the feeling of live music, meeting people.
Man.
Amazing.
I think people are going to, especially local shows, I feel like local bands are going to get a lot more respect. You know, yeah. I feel like people are, it doesn't matter which show is going to happen, I feel like people are going to go.
No, yeah.
So, all right, we got two more here. We'll give you the easy one first. Biggest hurdles in the music industry right now, and, you know, how would you fix it? A lot of people have said to me, Spotify streaming, but maybe give me something that people wouldn't expect. I don't know.
Can you please rephrase that or take it again?
Yeah. Or take it back. No, you're good. Like, biggest hurdles in the music industry right now, besides the pandemic, and you know, how would you fix it? Maybe
biggest hurdles. What do you mean with hurdles? Sorry, my English.
No, you're good. So people have given me answers like Spotify streaming, touring issues where they go on tour and they bust guitars and stuff like that. Just in general, hurdles in the music industry, or just like things, struggles in the music industry that could be fixed.
Spotify. Yeah, definitely.
All Spotify?
Platforms that could maybe... Whoa, there's a tons of stuff. I mean...
Right. There's definitely more on the struggles than the successes, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, I still see positive on these things.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, you have to stay positive and love what you do. I mean, that's the key to everything. Whether it's just if it's soccer or playing golf or tennis or whatever, I mean, you still have to put your heart and soul behind it if you want to do it properly. And you get to love what you do. Be happy.
Right.
Playing in a band.
Yeah. Well, that's a perfect answer. I've gotten a few answers where people will just spit out all the problems. I'm like, okay. All right. But
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, it can be. No, stay positive. I like that. Stick to that.
All right.
Wait here.
So the last thing I will ask is, like, what are some characteristics of, like, a band that you think would last more than 5 years? Like, what are some things that you've learned that has made a band stay together for a long period of time?
It has to be a little bit like the previous answer. Love what you do.
Okay.
Really like each other, and to have the same visions and goals. Yeah. And to share, you know?
Yeah. That's a good point. Now, would you say off of that, you know, are breaks, like, necessary?
Hey, what?
Breaks, just like in general, like if a band's just kicking ass for years and years, do you think, like, breaks for a year are necessary?
Yeah, I mean, I think so, maybe. I mean, doing the same thing all over and over again, sometimes you need some just a breather, maybe.
Right. Okay.
I think that's healthy.
Right on. So what do you have now? I'll open up the table to you to promote things that you got going on in the future. Just whatever you'd like to promote.
Oh, I'm writing a lot of stuff for a thing called Obey the Riff, which is a celebration and a hymn to the almighty riffage.
yes, an homage to the riffage.
Yeah, exactly. We all do love riffage.
If there's no riff, there is no song.
exactly.
All right.
But, like, you're into classic rock?
I am, yes. I get the whole, it kind of spiraled from Van Halen and Jimi Hendrix.
Oh.
How about you?
Yeah, Van Halen, my God.
Van Halen? Oh, I could talk about Van Halen for years. Yeah, like,
me too. And you can always put on Van Halen albums, and it's always a feel-good vibe to it. Always, it's nice, you know?
You know, I want to bring up the fact of, have you listened to the new Wolfgang EP? Like, his son's EP?
No, I just heard the first single, which was amazing. I loved it.
Was that the one, like, the homage to his father?
Yeah, Distance, right?
Oh, man, that's so sad.
Yeah, so beautiful.
It was, I mean, yes, it was, like, beautifully sad at the same time. Like, yeah. I started music because of Eddie, and, like,
yeah,
to the left of me. And I think you have EVH cabs, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm assuming you got the big 4x12s.
Yeah.
I've got a 2x12 next to me, and then I have a custom I built on myself, the Frankenstein.
Ah,
back in the day.
Yes. That's dedication. That's, I mean, it's just, it doesn't matter who you talk to when it comes to guitar, or especially, of course, rock. It's always there's always some Eddie Van Halen into it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, here's the question that all Van Halen fans argue about. Sammy Hagar or David Lee Roth? I'm a David Lee Roth guy.
It's it's like Ozzy Osbourne, Ronnie Dio, or Tony Martin. I mean, the first albums with David Lee Roth is amazing. It's always feel good. And then 5150 came, and then it morphed into the more of a war kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
More synths, more epic. I mean, songs like Dreams, right. Man on a Mission. But it's still rocky. I can't choose. I just love it.
Yeah. Now, for me, I think what really hooked me in was, I'm assuming that you haven't seen Van Halen, or have you?
No, I never seen them.
So what dragged me in was Eruption, and
oh yeah.
Oh man, I saw Eddie do that 7 or 10 minute solo, and I was like, I'm in. I'm in for the long haul, man. You got me. I'm playing guitar. I'm gonna try to do that.
Yeah. Exactly.
What about Cathedral for you? That tune to me was very innovative in and of itself.
Yeah.
The
English Doom band?
No. I'm talking
about I lost it. Yeah, Cathedral. Yeah, that was really. It's from Dividal, right?
Say it again. I'm not sure the song name, but it's where he uses the volume pot.
Oh yeah,
song
yeah.
Cathedral. It's from Dividal. Yes,
it's amazing. I mean, we can go on. We can talk about.
Oh man,
Main Street. The song Main Street.
Yeah, Business on Main Street. Oh god.
Unchained.
Yes, Unchained. Oh, okay, so here's one. Here's one. Favorite album. You know, if I were to ask myself, you can go first and I'll have to think about it.
Okay.
What's like your favorite Van Halen album, and like why? Like, what are some elements to that album that kind of stand out from the rest?
Well, I have some really funny memories of the first album. As I told you previously, I went to this to meet some old friends of mine at the suburbs and where I grew up. And I used to hang around with the older crowd at that suburbs. And those guys were maybe 5 or 6 years older than me. And they were heavily into Van Halen, Mötley Crüe and all that stuff. So, oh, Niklas, you gotta listen to this. Oh, yeah. This how to do it. Wanna try? And talk about love, you know.
Yeah.
So I got fed on all these albums, so I couldn't deny the power of it.
Right.
When I started the seventh grade, one of those guys were my youth center leader.
Okay.
And he arranged a air guitar competition. All right, Niklas, you gotta be in it. Yes, come on. Yeah, I'll sign you up for it. Okay. And he put on, I want you to do Eruption and Ice Cream Man.
Okay.
And that's from the first album. So I did that one and I came second. And listen to this, I won a banjo.
You won a banjo out of doing air guitar?
It's the second place. And the first... first prize was a ticket to see Accept, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I will say a funny story. So I was in California, and I haven't said this on the podcast. Nobody really knows I'm a big fan of Van Halen. But so I was in California, and me and my dad's a huge fan, and we're like, we got to find some cool stuff to do. And we found... if you go online, there's a lot of magazines that talk about how Eddie and the whole band used to go to the liquor store down the street, right? But they engraved Van Halen in the concrete right outside of the liquor store.
Yeah.
And I took a picture right next to that.
Oh.
It was just so cool because like I got to see his childhood home. And then on top of that, I got to visit the liquor store that they got drunk at for years.
Classic. I would do the same. Definitely.
But yeah, 1984, that's the winner for me. Just everything about that album, you know, it has just amount of, you know, radio friendly music, but then it's got some stuff that blew my mind as a kid.
Yeah.
With guitar.
Definitely. And the songs, it's
yeah,
the song Half a Teacher, the intro, the
That I learned that, like, I don't know, I tried for so many years, I just couldn't figure out how to connect my two hands together, you know. But yeah, that was, I mean, for me, you being a guitar player, how long do you think it took for you to, you know, kind of feel comfortable with having your both of your hands working at the same time and then being able to write music and just kind of understanding like tempo? Because it took me like 5 to 6 years and I had lessons.
You mean to understand the tempo or write songs or?
Just in general, when do you think music for you kind of clicked? Like, when did you feel, I mean, you're always learning.
Yeah, always to this day.
When did you feel that you're like, all right, I'm like ready to like write music?
Well, I think, I mean, my first couple of bands, we were heavily influenced of course, Morbid Angel, Obituary, Death, Sepultura, and stuff like that. So we played a lot of stuff like that. And that's a really technical music, Morbid Angel.
Yeah.
And we tried to sound like them and be like them, you know, with a song structure and all. And then you have to practice.
Yeah.
Which is good, which is really good. And then you have this, we were friends and we were having a blast hanging out all the time. We had this band for like 6 to 7 years, put out some demos and stuff. But it was always a little bit of a feeling of a healthy competition between us, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you do it. Yes, I have to learn how to do that. Otherwise, I can show you. You know,
I did the same thing, but that made me a better musician myself.
Yeah, you have to, but healthy, not in a bad way. We had a lot of fun doing it, so which was really good. But up till then, and afterwards, I picked up on Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, and stuff like that.
Nice. How about Incubus?
No, I didn't. That was before Incubus, I think.
Oh, okay.
So, and that was more of a classic rock song. I mean, an amazing song as Alice in Chains facelift album. We Die Young, Man in the Box, bonk, bonk, bonk.
Oh yeah.
And have that song structure. Ah, and then you kind of understand, ah, they are doing this and they're leaving air into it. Okay, I don't have to riff all the time. I can just play an open chord, run, and then
yeah, just groove it out.
Then I beginning to have some kind of understanding for writing music.
Yeah, just figuring out like it doesn't have to be like a tech death band all the time. Shredding.
No, not at all. Another album which was hugely influential to me was The Cult, Sonic Temple.
Okay.
I love that album and the playing of Billy Duffy.
Okay. Now, what's some music that people wouldn't really expect you to be listening to? Like, I, for example, like, I love U2. Like, that's a band that people are like, why the hell do you listen to them? And there's just something about them, man. They're just a really good band. Like, they understand what catches a musician's ear and a just normal person.
Yeah, and the power of writing hooky songs which stays forever.
Yeah.
No, we are talking about guilty pleasures here, right?
Yeah. Guilty pleasure bands that your friends are like, why the hell do you listen to that?
Okay, are you ready?
Yep.
I just listened to one of those albums this morning.
When
I woke up, the first one is Peter Gabriel's album, So.
I'll have to write that one down.
Yeah, it's got these hits like Sledgehammer and Red Rain and such. It's an amazing album.
Let me write
that. I love it. And the second one, I'm sure you have heard tunes from this album in at least 10 movies.
Okay.
And it's Massive Attack Mezzanine.
Massive Attack.
Yeah. Songs like Angel, Rising Song, Teardrops, Inertia Creeps.
Rising Teardrops. I'll check that one out.
So good. That's my... Those albums that's a little bit out there, where you think of it. But, wow, I love them. I just can't be without those albums.
So, you know, the last thing I would want to ask with this is, you know, you're talking about movies and stuff. I'm assuming that if somebody asked you to put a song in a movie or a video game, you'd take it. You know, like, what do you think? What would you be? What would be like a really cool movie that you would love to have your music in?
Wow.
I have not asked that question. I gotta save that.
Yeah, you gotta do that. I love all this. If there's a theme of classic rock, classic movies, yes, of course it's a theme for that. But I love The Exorcist with Linda Blair, you know.
Okay, all right. So horror movies all the way.
Not all the way, but that was something that grabbed my attention from really early on. That was one of the first horror movies I ever seen, which scared the shit out of me.
Oh yeah.
And it's Mike Oldfield who's doing the soundtrack for that movie.
Okay.
And it's just amazing soundtrack.
I would do it with Chucky. I don't know if you've watched Chucky.
Was it that doll?
Yes, the doll with the orange hair.
Yeah,
it's terrifying.
Yeah, it is.
It's absolutely terrifying.
Yeah,
but Nicholas. Yes. It was an awesome time talking to you. Van Halen, we could talk about that for freaking hours on end. But maybe in the future we'll do an episode just with people I've talked to that love Van Halen, because it's just a topic that I just always come across that people could go on and on for.
Of course. Yeah, it's so amazing music. And then I have the last question for you, my friend.
Okay.
What is your second favorite classic rock band?
Second favorite classic rock
band. After Van Halen.
Oh, boy. I'm looking around here for a second.
I did the same earlier.
I've got to look around. You know, something that really got me into the whole thing was like Led Zeppelin, like back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
There's just so many good riffs that they did. And I mean, like, some people can go, oh, they stole music, but at the same time, they're a legendary band. Like,
amazing.
Anything, I mean, Led Zeppelin and Van Halen were my like upbringing. So
yeah.
But yeah, that's it. I'd have to catch them with Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, I think I have to play some Led Zeppelin after this conversation.
Yeah, you'll be playing that for the rest of the night.
Yeah, totally.
They just have, or you know, Pink Floyd. I totally forgot about Pink Floyd. They'd probably top Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
Because Animals, have you listened to Animals by Pink Floyd?
Sorry, excuse me. I just had to. How old are you?
Me?
Yeah.
I am I'm turning 22 in June.
Whoa.
So I'm not too old, not too young, but whatever.
Yeah. That's a really cool thing to start with, classic rock. That's really good.
Yeah, I didn't get thrown into the metal thing first. People are like, why'd you listen to classic rock? And I'm just like, that's my roots, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that was, it was probably a good thing, because if I didn't do classic rock, I mean, for you, you'd probably say the same thing. I wish I would have been brought up on classical music.
Me?
Yeah, I mean, as a guitar player.
I'm happy with Van Halen and Accept and stuff like that.
Have you seen those classical guitar players like play?
It's amazing. It's amazing. With on acoustic, on nylon strings.
Oh, my God. Like, in my opinion, they're like the most talented of them all. Like,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's just, it's a whole nother level of music.
It is. To get the tune out of acoustic guitar. No, no, it's a...
It's absolutely insane. But Nicholas, thank you for hanging out. It was really a good time. And I really enjoy when I just kind of go off script and have like a legitimate conversation. And that definitely was. So
thank you so much. Nice talking to you, my friend.